Amateur presentation.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I always love learning about the process of filmmaking and what a filmmaker does. And I wanted to ask you, because this is your feature length directorial debut, was there any artists that you looked to, whether they be first time directors in the past or even someone that was an artist that made a transition from one medium to another, in just informing you, or just filmmakers that you really loved their first feature?
It's a great question. I mean, I really loved, as a first feature, especially a female director, not that it even really matters officially, but I loved Promising Young Woman as a directorial debut. I felt like it was really brave and it took a lot of chances. And that was something that I honestly didn't even actually watch it until after Humane was finished. But I think that just generally watching anyone who has made any kind of transitional shift from one medium to another, even just, you know, music to photography or music to acting or vice versa, it's sort of just inspiring to me as an artist to know that this is doable. And also, you don't have to choose. You can do all of the things.
Absolutely. Was there an image in the script that you were particularly interested in shooting, or something that maybe was sort of more time consuming than you would thought it would be? Because there's one sequence in this film I keep thinking about, and it's the moment where Peter Gallagher pulls away the lens of film, the UV protection lens, and then you get that beautiful wide shot of him in his room. And I was just thinking about, like, you know, obviously you come from a photography background. Was there any shot or sequence that you were thinking in particular about shooting a certain way?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because really, truly, it's the following scene. Well, not the immediately following, but in back up in the bedroom, in Peter Gallagher's eventual demise and his, you know, sort of death sequence, the hard sunlight coming through was something that I really envisioned for a long time and spent a lot of time discussing with Doug, our DP, knowing that that was such an important lighting moment and visual moment. There's something so dramatic about that time of sunset, that moment where the sun is streaming through the window, setting everything in its path on fire. I wanted to achieve that in such a way that you really felt that this moment had been completely set up by the Charles character to, you know, construct his final moment in a way that felt fitting to him. And at the same time, you know, I really just wanted to take macro photos, like macro close-ups of sliced fish, you know, also that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I have to ask that now. How many mackerels did you go through? Was it a few, or was it just one, or how many?
It's a few. So Uni, who played Dawn, she did it herself. Like we had an incredible food stylist on set as well, but we really wanted her hands in the mackerel scenes. And so she learned how to do that filleting with that super heavy, real Japanese chef's knife. And, you know, we went through, I think she maybe got it on her first time, but we definitely chopped the head off of a different one on a different day.
Well, the precision of that scene, the sort of the etiquette of it is beautifully done and crafted, and it kind of sets the stage for what's to come. When you're reading the script and directing the film, do you ever put yourself in any of the characters' shoes, or sort of see yourself sort of rooting for anybody? Because obviously someone like Noah in the film, the character of Noah, is a very sympathetic person, but it's always interesting to see how the tables shift in any one sequence.
In this particular story and film, I don't think that I relate to necessarily anyone specifically. I would say I'm the most like Mia, Serena's character, or Bob, frankly. But, you know, these siblings all are kind of detestable in different ways, but they all have their unique story arcs that they'll challenge the way that you think about them as people. You know, you want to root for them in certain moments, you feel sympathy for them and empathy in certain moments. And then you're ultimately like, I would like this to be the person who dies. I think that that is the person who should die. You know, I think that also when you spend so much time with material, it's very hard to imagine yourself in any particular role. I feel like I knew the script backwards and forwards in such an intense way that it's even hard to separate myself and watch it as a movie. I even feel that way when I just do stills on a movie. You know, I was like, oh, I remember that day we had, you know, tilapia for lunch and it was raining. And, you know, it's hard for me to turn off the work part and focus on being entertained. I'm actually really excited to see the film tomorrow with an audience because I haven't seen the final cut on a big screen.
So do you think that remove might help a little bit in terms of appreciating, enjoying the work more so than just seeing the work that you've done over the course of months or even years?
I hope so. I also think that there will be a lot of nerves involved and feeling nervous about hoping that people react favorably to the film. We stacked the room with friends, so hopefully it's like a real experience. But, you know, it will be a lot of people, especially even friends, first time seeing it. And on a big screen and with a full house, it's a very different experience. So I haven't seen it since we finished post, which was several months ago. So I am excited to kind of watch it. You know, watching the trailer again, I was like, oh, that's cool. This is a good movie.
Well, absolutely. When you hear, you know, the cast and you know, this being your feature length directorial debut, I was also really curious because Brendan Cronenberg had Infinity Pool, you have Humane, and David Cronenberg has The Shrouds coming up. Do you at all talk about your projects together, or do you keep sort of shop sort of separate from your personal lives? Because I know David Cronenberg also does a voice in this movie as well.
He does. I mean, you know, that was just more fun for me than anything else. We needed a voice and he has a great voice. So, you know, on the one hand, I think that we talk a normal amount about our jobs, right? The way that any family sits around and talks about their jobs. I think you know, we don't necessarily come to each other for creative input unless we're really stuck with something. And that certainly happens, but it's more just feeling the support, understanding that someone is there for you if you need them. They'll watch, you know, we watch early cuts of each other's things. And there's usually questions like, okay, did this make sense? Did you understand why this character did this? Because you need a safe space to test out your edits before you show it to someone who doesn't maybe understand and who won't be as honest.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important, just the support of knowing that the people closest to you, you know, can believe in your work. And another question that I was really curious about, because the thing that I love about this movie is also the marketing of the film, the signage and the billboards. Was that something that was in the script, or did that come through the production aspect of it when you were sort of in pre-production?
There was actually more in the script. There were more advertisements, more billboards, more of that kind of stuff. And then, you know, we were sort of bound to our 20-day shoot schedule and our Canadian independent film budget. So a lot of the world building came in creative ways in prep. And even some came in the edit. You know, I think the Enlisters of the Week commercials were not written. They came in the edit because we wanted to kind of find a balance between doing proper world building to make clear what we were trying to get across, but not being too expository as to not give our audience enough credit. And, you know, I think having the opportunity to play with that a little bit in post was really valuable. And it really brought, you know, but it also took fresh eyes, you know, the eyes of editors to look at it and say, this all makes sense, except for I could just really use a little bit more information about this. How can we achieve that?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the exposition, and what I also appreciated with it, because exposition can sometimes be death for a movie, but it feels like it gets it out of the way as the movie is beginning, right from the logos of Elevation coming up. Was that something that you also found in the editing process, or was that something that was detailed in the script?
It's definitely in the editing process. I think the first draft that I read had the Piano Movers on a much longer car journey, and there were a lot more billboards for them to look at. It was like a Gardner Expressway kind of vibe. And that was something that we ended up just not being able to shoot. there were, I think the decision that we made to bring in the kind of news anchor voiceover, it was Colm Feore as well.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there are Easter eggs like that all over the film, just calling in friends who, you know, you would love to just have a little tiny piece of what we're doing. So people told me before I shot that so much magic happens in the editing room. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You just make the movie and then you edit the movie. I could not have been more wrong in that assumption. Absolutely magic happens in the editing room. A team of magicians, you know, make the film good, both during production and after.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes a team. It's a collaboration process. And I know with photography, sometimes you can, you know, see what you're working with right away and get that information back. But, you know, it's different formats. Caitlin Cronenberg, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. Really appreciate it. And congratulations on Humane.
So much. It was really lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have a good day.